Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and you. Let's get fired up on a Monday. I know Mondays are kind of but I'm in a pretty good mood. I'm in a lot better spot this Monday than last Monday, despite how the weekend kind of went, how you went into the weekend as a Nebraska basketball fan. There's some combine stuff we'll get into. Some thoughts on Nebraska basketball. Sporting News has come out with their 18 predictions for the 2018 college football season. That's pretty cool, where Scott Frost and Nebraska end up. And we are loaded up with some outstanding folks to talk with. Nicole Arbach will join us, contributor with BTN. Also, senior writer with The Athletic. So we'll get caught up with Nicole. She's done a number of interviews with Coach Miles, follows, knows the Nebraska program. She's also a Michigan grad. And she can kind of give us some perspective on Nebraska's fate, because you're now in day three, maybe wondering, maybe you're not. Maybe you're pretty good with that closure of Nebraska's fate. I think I'm pretty good with Nebraska's fate. I think I know what's going to happen. There's hope versus reality. We'll get into that. Blackshirt McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach Charlie McBride, 1 hour from now. We'll talk to him a little bit about something that Nebraska's going to have to, well, it's been ongoing. But when you want to win the Big Ten West and also compete in the East, how do you do that defensively when you're trying to prep for multiple offensive styles? How do you do that while, like, sharpening your skills against your offense that there's nothing like in the Big Ten? So we'll dive into that conundrum. And then Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, a new commit for 2019 out of Norfolk. We'll get caught up with Greg next hour. Can tap the line. Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Can at us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio at Hail Varsity. Danny, give me your Twitter again, man.
At Danny Burke 5.
At, what's the 5 for?
That's just always been my favorite number from my first day in baseball.
You're a George Brett guy?
Yeah. I mean, I don't not like him. That's not why I chose a number, but I mean,
he retired when I was, you know,
yeah,
7 years from being born. But yeah, I'm good with him.
Yeah, but yeah, 5's always been my number.
Okay. So add Danny Burke 5. Follow and see Danny's adventures. Okay, so there's things we can get into with Nebraska basketball. And I just want to stop for a second, and we're working on trying to get a hold of the legendary coach, Coach Knee. Dirk's series with the World Herald. And I just sat back and read that as he described being a kid from the state of Nebraska getting excited about Nebraska basketball. Okay? And the moments of, and you lived these, with the Devaney Center, with the Danny Knee era, where you would park down by the Sports Center, you would wait for one of those stupid trains to cut you off before you could park closer to the stadium if you were a Rebounders Club member. And if you weren't, you paid $5 to park on the other side. There were like three little condos. Okay, as you went through 17th Street, and this is before they reconfigured stuff just down the road from Able, and there were three little condos, and I always wondered who lived there, and I always saw empty old Milwaukee cans outside. So maybe it was an off-campus party spot, or people just congregated there to stay warm like a scene from Breaking Bad. I never figured it out, never wandered in there, but the way things were described and it brought me back going to the Devaney Center with big games, the sights, the smells, the sounds, the fact that you are frozen solid trying to get up that ramp to Devaney, and the windshield sucks, and there's some goofball from the state of Missouri that drove in that has a tiger tail hanging out his trunk with their big old luxury automobile, either a Lincoln or a Cadillac, going 4 miles an hour. And you walk into Devaney, you smell the popcorn, you get the hot dogs, you hit this rush of war, you thaw out. And I just loved reading about Coach Knee and Coach Smith, that has just been so awesome about doing games with us, you know, for high school coverage. And Bo Reed, who's a friend of the show, and Pike and Chubbuck, and I mean, those were my teams. Those were absolutely my teams. And I say my because it was just a family experience. It was great. And fast forwarding to now with Nebraska basketball, you want some of those experiences if you're a little bit older and you were part of the 90s era for your own kids when you take them to games. You have an immaculate setup. You have an incredible venue and surrounding area to just party and have a hell of a good time. And you want the basketball team, and both teams, men's and women's, have kind of kept their end of the bargain this year. They've done outstanding work, and you want them to get the payoff. But, folks, the truth of the matter is, if Nebraska basketball gets into the NCAA tournament a week from yesterday, and you'll hear the selection show on ESPN Lincoln and several of our ESPN affiliates, it'll be because Bill Moos is just that damn good. Okay? The ship has sailed on Nebraska basketball having a valid on-paper argument. That hurts. That's not to discredit what they've done. That's not to say they're not very good. That's not to say they can't win in the tournament. But things had to line up a bit. They didn't. And you, in your biggest game of the year, played your worst game of the year against a great team that steamrolled of everybody. I mean, Michigan's hot and they're great, okay? So you got beat by the champ. Does that help you? I guess, but it's the same team that Iowa took to overtime. Hindsight being what it is, scream for Iowa to win that game, get Iowa, and then, you know, bet on Miles Bridges to make about 7 to 15 stupid plays the final 2 minutes of the game. Maybe Sparty hands you one. I'm rambling here, but with Nebraska basketball, man, it's frustrating. It'll be an NIT unless, again, Bill Moos gives the state of Nebraska a second Christmas gift. And that's what your hope is. That is Bill Moos, his relationship with 7 of the 10 committee members, just saying, hey, think about us. Didn't have a good day on Friday. We've had a really good month. 8 out of 10. Bruce, you've seen us. Was Friday the exception or the rule? And you don't know. Because the rule against teams that have been pretty good are tournament teams you haven't beat. You beat them once. And you've also gone through just a stupid schedule this year. I mean, it's just been brutal for you. And right now, Nebraska's like test case example. Done some research today. The two teams that Nebraska has been compared to is, I think, the 13-14 SMU Mustangs, Larry Brown's first good year down there. And then also Tulsa, when they had Coach Heath. Coach Heath has hopped around and was at Miami and then is no longer at Miami. Coach Heath is not a good basketball dude in a lot of people's opinion. But that's it. You're a 22-10 squad that finishes anywhere between second and third in your league. Both those teams are in the AAC, who currently right now has as many teams in, projection-wise, as the four you get from the Big Ten. And that's another source to talk about here, too. Do you dislike the bracketologists because they're not telling you what you want to hear? Or do you dislike the bracketologists because they don't know your team? You don't trust their response because you, as the fan, have seen this team. You respect this team. I, as a guy who's watched the team, covers Nebraska athletics, I've seen them. And the one thing I don't think you and I can make a case for is that Nebraska is a consistent team away from home. And I think that's where push comes to shove with other bubble teams and with just the ability to execute. Nebraska basketball away from PBA is probably an NIT team. When they're at home, they're an NCAA tournament team. And they were away from home at a neutral site. And it's just going to be the death of them. And you hope Nebraska gets a chance, kind of pull themselves up by the bootstrap. And I know, NIT, make fun of it. It's brutal. It's what you got. Okay, and you haven't had a sniff of anything worth a damn since the tournament. See what this team can do. See if they can put a run together. See if they can get some experience. See if they can get some experience in neutral game sites against other fringe teams that on a lot of the nights they played basketball were NCAA tournament teams just like Nebraska. But just didn't quite have enough. And see if you can't kind of work out some of those kinks, get rid of some of those jitters, reduce the pucker factor from 12 to maybe 6, and put a run together. Get better, okay? Get better. You were really good this year. You were 13-5 this year. You were really good, and you had the worst draw. If we're talking playing blackjack, you'd have a 20, and the dealers had a blackjack several hands out of a sitting where you're just donating money. When it comes to teams you played, who had their stars, who didn't have their stars, and then your own conference just being off, being down, reloading a bit, if you will. And that's your reality. And if you disagree with me that this team's going to the NIT versus the NCAA tournament, brother, I'm here to talk with you. Chat with me, change my mind, but I think you know it to be true, with this little caveat, this exception being the magic of the moose. Okay? I don't know about water or wine or feeding 5,000. I know we got Scott Frost here, and I know that Bill Moose is a deal maker, people talker. He's awesome, but your basketball team can't stand on their own two legs right now. They need help. They are a really good basketball team with a lot of talent that just could not deliver on Friday. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Court can tap house. Let you do that. I'm going to go to the phones. John will be with us. John, start us off, partner.
Hey, you know, as much of wishful thinking and as I want to have, I agree with most all of your points. And really what it comes down to is, do we want to just make the tournament for making the tournament's sake, or do we want to make the tournament and make a splash?
Here's the thing, John. Here's the bitter freaking pill to talk about. I think this team, if they get in, they could do something. I think they're that good. You know what? Did John just drop off? Okay. Well, John, call back if you like. But I like what John was saying. Do you just want to get in to for the sake of getting in? No, I don't think. As much as I've outlined a lot of things, we'll get to Jimmy here in a second. Listen, they're good enough to do something. That's the maddening part. Jimmy, go ahead. Jimmy, thanks for calling. Welcome in.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, bud.
Hey, When did we win the NIT last? Was that Tyronn Lue's year?
Ty was, no, it was 95, 96. It was Strickland and Boone and Badgett's senior year.
We're still talking about it today. Why not win it this year and talk about it 10 years from now?
It's still, you know, if you win it, there's a little bit better feeling that you are number, at that time, 65, at this time, 69, right?
Yeah.
No, you're going to go. You're going to play in it, most likely. You got to do something with it, because don't kid yourself. That can, assuming you have most of your important roster pieces back, big assumption, that can make things happen for you. Big time.
And if you go and don't do nothing, then...
Well, it's a learning experience. It is. It's a learning experience. That's what they need. They need more swings at the plate, so to speak, in some of these big moment neutral site games, right? Because we know they're awesome at PBA.
Yep, I agree. Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy. Let's sneak in one more here. Do we have time or not? No? Damn it, Danny. All right, have our friend hang on the line. Hey, tell me I'm wrong here with the NIT, and the tournament is what you want. You think this team can do some work in the tournament? Absolutely. Do you think they'll get the opportunity? Nicole Auerbach on the way. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time to get caught up. Talk some college basketball. It is March. It is madness. And we get caught up with Nicole Auerbach, with a senior writer, The Athletic. You see her on Big Ten and beyond. Nicole, how's your weekend? Lots of hoops. How you doing?
Yeah, it's good. Gearing up for another week of ACC and Big East, too. I kind of like that everyone's fighting over New York City as part of their footprint. It makes easy commutes for me to get to a bunch of basketball games.
I bet. Thumbs up or thumbs sideways with the Big Ten tournament this weekend as a whole, being early and being in Madison Square Garden. What'd you think?
Well, the early thing, I think it has that's legitimate criticism, and I know that the coaches did not love the compressed conference schedule, and I think that it's going to be a challenge to the programs that are going to the NCAA tournament. I mean, what you do now in this week and a half before they play again. But in terms of location, I thought that was actually a complete success. I know people were very hesitant heading into just taking it out of the heartland, and I think what didn't get enough attention is that there are a lot of Big Ten alumni in New York City, and I've been to a lot of Big Ten, the specific schools, alumni events and bars for football games and things like that. And, you know, there's a ton of people here. And these are people who, you know, they'd be able to, I had a lot of Michigan fan friends, alums, who were able to take Friday afternoon off and go to a game here, but they weren't ever going to be able to go to Chicago or Indy for 3 days and catch the team there. So I think it's for a one-time deal. I think it ended up great that there was a whole different area, people who could drive and take a train and get to games that wouldn't normally get to see their team this time of year. So I thought it was great, especially starting Friday once you had the top four seeds playing. Saturday was just terrific and electric. You know, and Friday night you also had the Rutgers little mini run that they almost took out Purdue. And then Sunday also great. I think Michigan fans in this area really show up, and it was almost like, and a little bit underrated, they don't get enough attention for this, but it's almost like when Duke comes to New York and it's that kind of a semi-home crowd environment. It certainly felt that way for Michigan as well this week.
Nicole Auerbach with us, Hail Varsity Radio, senior writer, The Athletic, college basketball and football reporter, BTN contributor. Okay, you mentioned Friday, and we were down in the rail yard doing a watch party covering Nebraska, and Nebraska's lead on the eye test so much this year, and it was a failed eye test against Michigan. Michigan's playing great ball. They won the whole thing again. They're tremendous, but not a great showing for Nebraska. Where does Nicole Auerbach sit right now on Nebraska and the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think they probably needed two wins at the Garden to increase that resume enough. You know, the one thing that is still uncertain, and all the bracketologists I know are, or at least, you know, the ones I read regularly, are pretty out on Nebraska being on the outside looking in just based on the lack of really good wins, mm-hmm. is that we don't exactly know how the committee is going to value things with the new quadrant system. Like, we don't know exactly, does one win from quadrant one offset a really bad loss? Like, how are the committee members going to take things? I still think, no matter which way you slice it, it's going to be a really uphill battle for Nebraska, just because they are looking for those Q1 wins, and you're looking for strength, not strength of schedule, but just the caliber of the resume. And they come up short in various ways. I do think elements like UCF having Taco Fall being available and playing, and when you played Minnesota and who was on the roster, I do think the committee takes those types of things into consideration, particularly if it's going to be a really close call and you're debating resumes at the end of things, and there are flaws on everyone's resume. I just think, they needed probably two at the Big Ten tournament, and they didn't even get one. So I just feel like it's probably going to be a little bit of a cushion left out. Like, I'm not sure they're even going to be, maybe the last team out.
Right. I think they're sitting at, not first four out, but maybe next four out. And it's a weird dynamic here because Nebraska fans, you know them. You've been here. You've covered Coach mm-hmm. Miles. You know how passionate they are about him. You know how passionate they are about sports, right? And it's not real often you have such a successful season. That's been the hope with Coach Miles, and he took the team in year two to the NCAA tournament. They're knocking on the door now, but I'm trying to wrestle with how good were their wins this year, because I think they're absolutely a tremendous basketball team, and they're one of the best Nebraska basketball teams I've seen since Pettaway era, but even going back to the Ty Lue era. I mean, just so that's like the context, that's the comparison, and those were mm-hmm. tournament teams. I'm just trying to see, I want your perspective here, what you thought of their wins. I mean, you're not getting credit for going 13-5. How down do you think the Big Ten was this year, at least in the middle class region?
Right. That's kind of the problem, because normally if you go about 500 or a little better in the league, that's enough. And if you get to the NCAA tournament, you get to the conference tournament, mm-hmm. pretty much any game you're going to play is going to help. But like, Penn State ran into this problem as well. They needed to get to a certain point in the tournament in order to get the wins that they need that are actually going to boost their resume. I think with really outside of the fact that the way that the schedule fell, that Nebraska had some of these games, Purdue, Penn State, those teams were on the road. That is tough. That's just the way that the schedule falls. And if you don't get some of those teams back at home, it's tough. But, there's no way to really make up for the fact that you go to Illinois and lose right at the end of the season when you know that you can't afford to do that, so that kind of thing. And so that hurts, because then does that, in the committee eyes, offset a good win over Michigan? Or is it even worse? It's really hard to tell because, of the metrics and just the individual preferences of people on the committee. I think that in a normal year, and again, the compressed schedule could be part of this, mm-hmm. but you're not used to seeing Iowa and Wisconsin be so down.
Ever,
and those
right?
not be wins that really boost your resume. So it's just, it's the way the schedule falls, and I totally understand Tim Miles' frustration with that and the fans' frustration with that. You're not expecting this to be the first year Wisconsin is not going to make the tournament in 20 years. You're not thinking that way. So I understand it's really tough and it's really frustrating, and I love Tim. I think he's great for the Big Ten. I think he's great at Nebraska. He brings a ton of national attention and interest, and he's just a delight to cover and be around. So I like when Nebraska's in the picture, and I was hoping that they would go on a little bit of a run and get themselves flat on the bubble. But when you run into a team like Michigan, and this is exactly what happened last year, Michigan in the Big Ten tournament, there was no one that could stop them. They were just playing so well on both ends. And Nebraska just ended up being the first one to realize that. You can have all of those things, and they can sound like excuses, but they can also be true at the same time in terms of the way the schedule fell.
Nicole Auerbach with us, Hale Varsity Radio. A few more minutes with her. We're talking Nebraska NCAA tournament, their hopes. Senior writer with The Athletic, and log on theathletic.com. Find out more about just tremendous college football and basketball coverage. Nicole, Coach Miles really did a good job of kind of forming this team. The chemistry has been really high. You've been a part of the mock bracket and the mock selection committee. You've participated in that. Your take on what kind of role an athletic director can do with these next few days when it comes to lobbying with the committee members on the selection committee?
There's really nothing that anyone can do. We see, and Coach Miles did this after their loss to Michigan. He was going through the schedule and making their case. And coaches do this a lot this week leading in. And, you know, obviously the committee members are aware, but they've watched so much tape of this season. They have people who are point persons on different conferences whose job it is to know every intricate detail and what player did not play what game. And I don't think that any of that is going to change their minds. These are the experts. These are the ones who are evaluating their own eye tests. They're the ones sifting through all of the information that they have and more data points like KenPom or things that aren't in the official, you know, they're not RPI, but they're things that people are using to evaluate teams. So at this point, I don't think there's anything you can do except go on a run in a conference tournament and beat like two Q1 teams out of anyone in the country, more than us, less, more than coaches. They're only watching their own league. They're going to know, and then they're going to sit in a room for 4 days, and they're going to evaluate and talk to each other and see what they all think. But I just don't think that even a phone call, Tim Miles being at a press conference, any of these coaches being at a press conference, Pat Chambers being at a press conference, that stuff's not going to sway the committee that's already done, you know, 96% of their work to get to this point. And the last stage is discussing with everyone else and looking at the final numbers.
Last thought here before we let you go, Nicole, and it's great to chat with you again. What's your reaction to Scott Frost and what do you think he'll end up doing here, not just year one, but long term?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was obviously a great hire. It certainly says something about the job and the place and the people you're going to work for. When you get the guy, who's going to be the home run hire, and it was so seamless. I thought it was really cool that the UCF staff kept on and coached their guys in the bowl game. And you really don't see things ever go that seamlessly. And even when it is a coach going back to an alma mater or going to a much bigger job, there's still usually hurt feelings. There's still usually some sort of rift at the end. And so I thought that was a credit to both sides in how they handled that. But, you know, it's gonna remain to be seen about, you know, what he can do long term. I mean, it's just there's so much that I'm sure he's focused on in the immediate future right now and balancing. And I was at Michigan when Rich Rod was there and then in the aftermath, and balancing the tradition and the history of a place and the value of having people who have been there, played there, worked there, versus, you know, not getting left in the past or living in the past. And so, you know, that's a challenge that Nebraska is facing and going through and has been going through. And I think, you know, he's going to figure that out, because when you have somebody who does know the lay of the land, you're able to do that. And I think that UCF program, you know, he had great recruiters there. He brought his whole staff over. You're able to sell them on what they did and how they turned things around so quickly. I don't think there should be any concern about, you know, Nebraska getting back up there and competing atop the West. There's no reason in my mind it shouldn't be Nebraska and Wisconsin every single year battling it out to win that division. So I think Nebraska will get there, but, you know, there's always growing pains when you're transitioning from coaching staffs, from, you know, getting guys that you didn't recruit. I would think that the Nebraska fans would be so excited and behind this hire that there would be some patience for those growing pains, which, you know, a coach that you don't know and isn't a beloved favorite son doesn't always get. So my friends who are Nebraska grads are very excited about things, but I think they're also aware that, you know, this may not flip a switch and, you know, next year they're going to be in the college football playoff.
Absolutely. Nicole Arbach with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Great to get caught up with her. TheAthletic.com is where you can read her. Nicole, we'll chat again. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right. Thanks so much.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
I believe we're an NCAA tournament team now. We just ran into a buzzsaw with Michigan, but I don't think that undoes what we've already accomplished. And what we've done is we've won games away from home. We've beaten the teams that we should beat, with maybe one exception. And to go through that type of season where you have to win, I think we won 8 out of our last 9. 4 of those on the road. We showed we can win away from home.
Oh, I love you, Tim, for trying to make that argument. We're not, Danny and I aren't saying keep him out. Saying the door's locked. Unless the moose kicks it down. Great to have you back, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks to Nicole Arbach, The Athletic, formerly USA Today. We had some great calls to start the show off. You're welcome to Tap the Line, Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House. I'll let you do that. 466-377-6800-825-5865. A quick word about Madonna Proactive and our friends over at Madonna. You want health and wellness and fitness? Maybe you want to take out the frustration of Friday and go hoop it up. Hit some jumpers inside the paint. Hit some jumpers from three-point land. Hit some jumpers from the mid-range. You got a basketball court to do that. They also have 3 pools, including Lincoln's only indoor aqua track. It's a good time. And it's a great workout. Lap pools, I love doing that. Cardio equipment and TRX classes. We're talking 130 classes, yoga, water classes, fitness instruction, personal training. All of that is included with you. At Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake, 402-420-0000. Take the tour today. Schedule an appointment and see how amazing the facility is, how great the people are at Madonna Proactive, and where you want to be with your health and fitness goals for 2018. Child care also available, madonnaproactive.org. Pickleball, basketball, or just maybe some personal training. Stay with Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road. Okay, you heard from Coach Miles. Let me ask you this, and this was a point brought up by John. I want your take, Danny. I'll give you mine here. Nebraska, about getting into the tournament. Do you feel this team is one of those teams that, would, if they get to the tournaments, just kind of like, well, damn. We're just happy to be here. I don't get that vibe and feel from this team, this roster, this coach. I think they're extremely confident. And I've not experienced anything in my life when it comes to covering teams either, where you're talking gun to head must win. Okay? I mean, you've seen a little bit of it in some baseball situations. What's the magic number? What's the situation? Some playoff and pennant races. I mean, it happens. But when it comes to, like, close to home in Nebraska, I mean, this team was under remarkable scrutiny. Their own. Their resume. The insanity of the 2017-18 schedule, and frankly not doing enough on their end. They had opportunity against Kansas, they had opportunity against Michigan, and they just looked like a nightmare in comparison to how they look in PBA and in comparison to how they looked as they closed out most of their road opportunities. It seemed like they took a breath after Maryland, and then Illinois happened, and then they played out of their freaking mind, and they were awesome against Penn State. So right now, I think they're a team that wouldn't just be happy to be there. I think they could go back to that mode of playing with some house money, where let's just go have some fun and let it all hang out. They had a stretch this season. They had a stretch this season where they got really, really hot and they played free and they played at a super high level. But then the circumstances, but then the situation of what's at stake got in their head a little bit. That's normal. That's natural. You've not experienced it. So they got to be doing something in the postseason versus bowing out. Take advantage of this opportunity, be it NIT or the Bill Moose plan getting in as a play-in. We'll give percentages on that here. Because listen, this is what we're going to be talking about here for the next 5 days, 6 days. Because we're waiting. As a kid, you remember screaming at mom and dad, are we there yet? To grandma's, to Disneyland, to see Marty Moose, whatever. Are we there yet? No. Sunday isn't here. Sunday at 5 Central is not here yet. Russ is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Russ, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just think, first of all, let me preface this by I think we're all pretty happy with the way the season went. We weren't expected to do a lot.
13th.
You know, we did end up 22-10. It seems like any program other than the volleyball team, you know, with maybe another exception, but, you know, it just seems like when the bright lights are on and when we got to get it done and we're on national TV and the pressure's on, you know, we just have that mental block and we just can't, you know, much less win the game. We can't even show up and give a good showing.
Play well.
Like as soon as things go south, you know, it's just like we're done. And I had a bad feeling about that. And I about the game Friday. And I don't have a good feeling about if we go to the NIT because I think our guys had such high expectations that they've got us right now as a number one seed. And then they've got SMU playing us maybe in Lincoln, which would be an advantage. But I see us going one and out there too because we don't have that mental toughness either on football, basketball, what have you, when the bright lights are on. And I think that's the biggest frustration. I mean, like I said, we had a great year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can just see it coming a million miles away, you know, whether it be football, whether it be basketball. And somehow we just have to get past that mental block and just go play.
You do, Russ, absolutely.
And I just can't get it.
You know how you do that, Russ? Russ, you gotta learn to win. You got to learn to win big games, and you got to be in big games to learn how to win them. What do you do next, right? What do you do next with the next big game, whether it's SMU and Lincoln or whether it's a play-in or that's just it.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to pay it forward with – the situation you're in with your roster, with your upperclassmen to younger classmen. And right now the setup you have is a bunch of transfers. I'm not knocking it. You've got really good talent come in here to kind of resurrect their career, but you've not had consistency on the roster, and football's been football. You've had line changes from coaching staffs the last several years. So that's what it is. You got to win big games and learn how to win big games. Thanks for calling, Russ. Appreciate it. And Russ is right. Let's not set the house on fire. The 22-10 is unacceptable. No, you just wanted more. And they looked like they were built for more. And maybe they get a solid. Maybe they get the old Syracuse treatment. But they would need to be Syracuse. That's the other thing. You got a long history of not being great. That isn't on Miles or anybody. It's just, it is what it is with Nebraska. Moose, put that Superman cape on, man.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Still time for you to chime in. Good first hour, quick hour. Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Danny, you've been doing well with the rejoin music today. Little Smashing Pumpkins. The Chicago group. You should be proud of them. You're like, huh? What? Billy Corgan? Ring a bell?
Nah.
Bald albino?
No, I know him. I know him.
Okay.
I don't listen to him too much.
You know why? Because that's old music, right. Says Danny.
I'm a big classic rock guy, though.
But
my dad instilled that into me.
No, I know, but what do you consider classic rock? Is it Zeppelin and Hendrix? That's what I consider classic rock.
Yeah, that's what I consider classic rock, yeah.
Versus the alternative era of Nirvana, Pearl Jam.
Smashing Pumpkins. Not the biggest alternative guy. Like, I don't go in deep into it. I'm kind of more of just their hit songs is what I know.
That's fine.
Like,
I never dressed in all black and went eyelash and mascara. I wasn't goth kid. I just I'm with you. All right, with the knowing some of their more popular tunes. You got a bone to pick with Penn State, don't you?
Well, yeah. So we were talking about it. I'm just curious.
If that didn't help Nebraska.
No,
at all,
right. So
at all.
We lost.
You just smoke them, right?
Yeah.
And then they go whack Ohio State a third time.
And they still had, what's his face out? Their leading rebounder. Can't think of his name right
now. That's
all
right.
Yeah. I really thought Ohio State was going to win that one because of that reason. And then.
They are the worst team to watch aside from Virginia in college basketball.
Yeah, seriously.
I can't.
Yeah. It's
a painful. Bottle of scotch and a handgun to get through that.
Yeah, so even after that Nebraska loss, so you're still thinking, okay, because you're trying to think of the positives at that point, and then the worst possible thing that could have happened was Penn State winning that game. And then right then I was like, okay, that's it. Even if Michigan wins, you know, that helps a little bit, you could say. And if Moose works his magic like you're saying, I mean, we'll see how much power he has.
What can he pull off? He can say, hey, be thinking about us. Hey, it's nice to see you again. Hey, we go back a ways. All of those things are true. Hey, we're a pretty good basketball team. We had a bad day. Hey, we're a pretty good basketball team. Our schedule was a joke. Hey, we're a pretty good basketball team. We need to be better at winning some of these high-profile games away from home. But guess what? Don't count us out. We're a good team. Big Ten's under. I mean, he can sell 50,000 things. But it just sounds and feels like everything's stacked up. Stacked up against you.
Yeah.
And here, this is just off the top of my head when we're talking help. Coach McBride's going to help. Can't wait to talk to him. Some football. 10 minutes away. Blackshirt Charlie, Mr. Coach McBride, Mondays with Charlie. You need Arizona State to keep free-falling. You need UCLA. You need Texas.
Texas got that big win.
No, I know, but...
That hurt.
Who'd they just knock off?
It was West Virginia.
But West Virginia had a 4-game losing streak this year.
It was at home, though, too, for Texas.
No, so. I know. It was overtime. I about right. got that score right in regulation.
Yeah.
Right. You'll, like, call me to the carpet on how brutal I was this weekend with... the forecast, that's fine, Danny. Have your moment. I don't know. Yeah, Penn State was insult to injury for certain. For certain.
Let's just hope the committee owes Moose a favor or two. Their best bet there.
Well, and again, the reason you're so hyped about this team is because of how fun they are. But you got to strike while the iron's hot with this roster and talent. Coach McBride's on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2 at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Lots of Nebraska basketball thoughts this first hour. We'll talk some football. And Mr. Blackshirt Mondays with Charlie, Coach McBride with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, happy Monday. How are you?
Yeah, it's a great day. I'm just waiting for the snow and the rain.
Well, we grilled yesterday as a family. It was in the 60s Sunday and Saturday, and getting ready to head out today. It's snowing, and of course, it's just Nebraska. So we'll send you some good weather and then send you some bad weather, and you can yell at me.
Well, I found out my wife was reading me the worst states in the country, and Nebraska's not one of them. Minnesota was first.
Okay,
and Michigan was second.
So that you're just hanging out. Hey, let's read about divorced states.
God. Oh well.
So, okay. So you're just, so how did that come up? Was she just looking through the magazine or the book and there's an article on divorce states?
Well, when I drive, she gets her phone out and gets all these statistics, you know, where the best place to live is, and we can't nobody can live in any of them. They don't have enough money.
Right.
You know, so we don't worry about that stuff. I'd rather be in Arizona than I would be in Michigan, probably.
No, I hear you. It's nice down there. And, Coach, I want to go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you about, what's been going on here, and this is in reference to a little bit of what went on Friday. You're in Michigan. Nebraska played Michigan in basketball. It didn't go so well. And to me, Nebraska was just a really different team at home against, you know, whoever they played. They were phenomenal. They were good on the road against some teams that weren't better than them. And then when you get to these moments, like Madison Square Garden, you got to win it to stay in it type reality. It wasn't Nebraska's best effort or showing. How did you guys coach up, teach? Take me through the process of getting guys prepared to win big games. Some of that's the players, some of that's the coaching, and it's a work in progress together. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, it starts during the week, and I think the biggest thing we did was there were teams that we, you know, we didn't say we can beat them. We just said that our chances are pretty good of winning, but you never say never because it's happened before. Mm-hmm. And but I think that the practice sessions tell you a lot of it. And, you know, and that goes on from the beginning. I think if you start having slack in your practices, then you're probably not going to play well. Mm-hmm. I know there's been times that it is hard to, you know, you work all week to get the kids ready to play. They're ready to play. You can tell. And you go out on the field and stadium's half full.
Right.
You know, and from home, it's kind of a letdown. I mean, I can feel it. Mm-hmm. And so some things like that happen. And then, of course, you know, probably the fact that, you know, they've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they learned a ton. I mean, I think, you know, you hate to say it this way. You'd love to see them go on in the tournament. But I think it does nothing but show them, you know, what this is all really about. And so I think, you know, next year, if they improve like they have, they'll be back there. And a lot of times, you know, the team that's supposed to win the thing usually plays like one plays the last team and or however they got it worked out. And then that number one thinks they're, you know, no problem and they get beat. And that's how teams, and then the team that wins gets hot.
Mm.
And maybe they were the sixth, seventh, eighth seed. You never know. Mm. And because in the tournament, it seems like somebody's going to get hot. And they pick all these people to win it, and then all of a sudden it's somebody else.
There's about eight squads that just should do it because they're better than you. And there's usually some folks that crash the old party because they get hot, they start believing, and it's momentum, isn't it?
Yeah, I think one of the things you got to do is you got to talk to them in terms of the one thing is you've got to, if you do anything, you have to play as hard as you can all the time. You just have to do that. Now, if you do and lose, then you know there's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, you got beat by a better team. But the players are the only ones that know that. I mean, unless it's just straight obvious somebody's not doing it, and or they're not doing it on offense or defense. And I think that's the biggest thing. You got to do it at both ends of the court. And same thing in football. You got to do it. Offense and defense has to be together as one team, and each one has a responsibility to the other. So that's kind of the way it goes. And I think, you know, in basketball, it's so there's spurts of Mm-hmm. Each team usually has some kind of a spurt during the game. You just don't hope it's the other team when it's getting down to the end. But, you know, it's a matter of consistency, I think. You know, you can't, you know, they played real well. I mean, I think defensively when I've seen them play, probably better than I've seen a lot of Nebraska teams mm-hmm. play. And I just think that adds to next year. I think it adds. I think they're going to be thinking about it. I think they probably got a little embarrassed, you know, by just going out in the first round. And you know, so it's a learning, you know, experience. And I know that when you go down to, we went down to quite a few Orange Bowls, and after a while, we really had to work at getting them, you know, kind of ready to play. Our fans weren't all coming down there because it was so expensive and things like that. And, you know, but as we went on and it got like that, you know, we didn't have really any drop-offs. Mm-hmm. We had drop-offs when we weren't good enough, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, and we realized that we didn't have enough speed on the team. When you're playing Miami and you're playing Florida State and, you know, and so on and so forth down there, you can recognize the big factor is speed, especially on defense. Well, we turned it around, so it was the other way. And that's probably one of the biggest things. And I think the way they played this year at times, they're going to try to do, they'll be talking a lot about playing the same way all the time.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, you're right, and I know you keep an eye on basketball, and we spend a lot of time talking football, but that element of kind of your first time in a big moment, in a big game, I wanted your perspective on that and the learning experience you go through. It's not the results you want. If you could have changed it, would you have changed it as far as, okay, you finally beat Oklahoma, have fun and go get Miami. Have fun, go get Florida State. It built you guys up to such an elite level, but man, climbing that mountain was probably frustrating, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe you liked the grind. I don't know. But would you have changed the opponents if you could have? Who you got in the Orange Bowl all those years?
Yeah, I would have changed it to one of the high school teams.
Okay.
No,
question answered.
You know, I don't think, you know, and I remember, you know, way back when Christian was playing, I remember Christian said, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Him and Ric Flair, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and the same thing. Yeah, that's probably right. I don't know much about that wrestling, except there was a guy across the street when I was living in Arizona. You could hear him all the way down. You couldn't convince him that isn't real. I mean, I swear you couldn't do it.
It's a chair and everything, Coach. I know, right?
Yeah. Oh boy, I tell you, the whole name of the game is, you know, is to be a team. You know, there can be one or two guys, and it can probably show up more in basketball mm-hmm. that are either, you know, jealous or.
You okay, Coach? Hello. This is bumming me out. He's ready to be awesome as always. Well, Danny, I'm glad it's you, not me, calling Coach back to tell him we got disconnected. I'll just blame Danny that he hung up on Coach McBride. All right. Coach, we got you.
I don't know how that happened, but
I think we're gonna blame Danny. It's okay.
No, I got a phone call, and I pushed the button. I thought it was you calling back, and it was Terry Keneally.
Say hi to Terry.
Yeah, I will. Call later.
So we got disconnected, not by Danny Burke, but by Terry Keneally.
That's right.
And that's pretty
blame
good.
On him.
Well, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you took my call. I know what I would have done.
Okay. Well, yeah, people are probably getting tired of me.
No. I'm saying it's easy for you to talk to Terry over me. I'm just your people love you. You're awesome. Coach, we were talking about teamwork and just being a good teammate to where we left off.
Well, I think that, you know, as a team, I think you have to football is a little different. You have more people.
Yep.
One of the things that we preached in football was that the older guys take care of the younger guys. And they don't just, it's not a class system. You know, I think in high school you hear a lot more the juniors and the seniors or something like that. But you can't, you know, the freshmen are seniors. I mean, when you play, you know, if they're good enough, they're, you don't, you just play. And the thing you have to do is I've always told the guys, if you don't know somebody on the team, the first day, not everybody knows everybody. I mean, they don't know their first names, last names, so we encourage them to eat with each other. The older guys go sit down with them, meet them, and spread yourself around a little bit, and, you know, that kind of thing. And then usually after practice, we go through the freshman locker room on the way back to our – when we were at the south end. Or the north end, I don't know where we were, but we were at the south end, and so we went right through the freshman room to go there. So we spent some time in there with them, and then we encouraged, of course, our older guys to, you know, just to hang with them and, you know, don't make them feel like they're freshmen or they're unknown sophomores or whatever it is. It's important, and I think then they gravitate to each other. And they, as time goes on, they get closer, and it's kind of an amazing thing when you have a lot of players in football. But in basketball, if that doesn't happen, you know, if somebody says, well, this guy really wants my job, I'm not going to, you know, pay much attention to him, that's a mistake. And I think people have to get over that. And I know with my kids, I always said, you know, no matter where you go, there's going to be somebody better than you. And what you have to do is be sure it's not at your position, but you gotta be you have to be prepared for something like that. And and instead of, you know, feeling bad and sending out bad vibes, you should encourage, you know, even more now. You should really encourage guys more and work together and things like that happen. That happened in football. If you know, we were fortunate to have some depth. And I always say this in terms of, it's harder to say to high school coaches because they don't have numbers. But I always said you coach for depth. In other words, you don't let that 13 guy sit around all the time when you're in group work. That guy's taking as many reps as the first team and some of the fourth team. If there's fourth team guys, you know, sometimes you got four, you know, teams. And so I never tried to keep the players separated in any way, and I, you know, tried to get them as much work as I could. And as when you're a good football team, and you know the older guys know what they're doing, you go to a bowl game, you can kind of work a little more even with them. You know, you can give them more reps, and so it was. It's a never ending battle. But we used to have some live drills on Wednesdays. And I would, they'd have 3 and 3. One would be going against 2 and 2 against 1, or 1 and 1 would be out in the field, you know, with some live stuff. And then I would just go over to the 3s and 3s and 4s and whatever guys were over there and watch them so I could see what kind of players they were and, you know, check them when they're in live action. So, you know, I knew our coaches that I was working with knew what was going on, and during a scrimmage, you don't really say a whole lot to anybody because you're playing against each other and you kind of know each other, and you know, and it's kind of prepped between you know, in meetings whether we're going to do some pressure stuff or they're going to run some option stuff that we're going to see next week. Yeah, but it's all basically live.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, love chatting today. We'll get caught up again next week. Stay warm, okay?
Oh, I'm going to do that. I have to. Otherwise, my wife will chase me out of the house and make me go buy a furnace.
Uh-oh. Just avoid that one, man.
Wood stoves aren't good enough, right?
I got you. Coach, you take care. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Always good to talk a little football and relate it to basketball with Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Welcome in the biggest Laker fan I know, recruiting analyst with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Greg Smith is with us at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Mr. Greg, how are you, sir?
I am excellent, man. The aforementioned Lakers are on a 5-game winning streak. Big baller brand back in the house.
See, I know you're fired up. You're geeked up. You know me, man, and I was the one Nebraska kid that liked Michael Jordan and the Bulls, obviously, and you're the one Chicago kid that loved the Lakers over the Bulls.
That is true.
So I respect you for your allegiance, but I don't get it. But I still love you. let's talk a little bit about Nebraska and recruiting. And how today went. We'll get into, you know, Greg's grill menu coming up here shortly. But Ethan Piper, in-state commit, 2019 kid, position and need on that interior. Give me your thoughts on Ethan, his skill set, his film. I know you spoke with him. Just your overall kind of reaction to what Nebraska did today, getting the commitment.
Yeah, I thought they got a really good player, and it's going to be so heavily tied to, you always hear when people talk about him, and they got a great player for an in-state guy. I truly think, though, if this kid was, you know, in Iowa or North Dakota or Texas even, that he'd be a good get for this class. So he's a 6'3", 280 interior lineman, like you mentioned. He's a standout on both sides of the ball for his team in high school right now, on the offensive line and the defensive line. He plays basketball. He throws in track. He's a really good athlete. When you watch his film, when he plays on the offensive line, you notice right away how quickly he's able to pull and get out ahead of people, and you can definitely use that in his quick feet along that defensive line as well. And then when you talk to him, you're just kind of blown away. Like, he's one of those kids, you heard this a lot last cycle about Adrian Martinez, kids that, you know, just seem a lot older than they are, guys that seem to get it, and Ethan Piper definitely fits into that, and he's the type of kid that you're thinking about when you say you want those Nebraska kids back in the program because it means more to them, because he basically said that it means more to us coming from Nebraska.
Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Ethan Piper, latest commit for Nebraska, 3 commits for 2019. Greg, that's not an accident, is it, when it comes to not only the evaluation but how the kids sound? I mean, Frost and his staff are going after pretty mature kids, not just they can lift more weights and can run faster, but just from a mental standpoint, it seems to me like they're going after dudes that are 18 going on 25.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we talked to a few of them. We had our signing day special, right?
Yeah.
You do kind of get that. And it feels like, and I don't want to make too much of it and say that, you know, this is something that this staff is really really honing in on versus other staff. But at least so far, it really does seem like they're going after just a different type of kid when it comes to just how mature guys are. And we'll see if that continues to bear out over time. But we do know that there are certain traits that this staff says that they look for when they're going out to recruit kids, or else they won't recruit them. And it doesn't always necessarily have to do with what their skill level is on the field, because this staff has a high level of confidence in their ability to develop guys. So if they feel like they can get the right type of kids and then develop them once they get here, they feel like they'll be in pretty good shape.
Who else was after Piper? I mean, Norfolk's where my dad grew up, so I know the area. I know the culture and community, great region of the state, hard workers, you know, love their athletics, love Nebraska. I mean, it's a lot like many communities outside of Omaha and Lincoln. All that said, I mean, Iowa was all over this dude, but who else? I mean, let's talk peer programs, and why do you think that is?
Yeah, it basically, with the schools in the area, Iowa, Iowa State, were in on him. I think Missouri was also sniffing around a little bit as well. Iowa was the main competition here. I think it's another big deal for Nebraska to win a kid like this, especially over Iowa. Like, it's one thing, when a kid that's looking at Iowa as a skill position player and you maybe win that kid, but when it's a kid in the trenches, that really makes you perk up a little bit, especially considering he was pretty far down the road with Iowa. He attended their junior days this past weekend, even though he had gotten that Nebraska offer last week. He told me that the reason he did that because he wanted to keep his word, and had told their coaching staff that he was going to go out there and see what they had to offer. But he had also told me at that point that he knew that he was going to end up committing to Nebraska most likely today, which he did. But whenever you can win a kid like that in the trenches over a division rival and a team that has a really good track record with players like Eason, that's a nice feather in your cap for Coach Frost.
What excites you most about him on the line for Nebraska? Do you look at him as an end in this 3-4? Not that Nebraska is always going to be a 3-4 front. They'll go to a 4-man. But what are some of Ethan's strengths here as you look at his high school and project?
So you kind of alluded to it when you said that, hey, maybe they won't be always in the 3-4. If they go to some 4-3 looks, he'll be a guy that fits in perfectly with a multiple defense that Eric Janander wants to run, because he's a really versatile player. I think he has the strength to play on the interior. I think he told me that he's squatting somewhere in the 550 range, which is pretty insane. So he has,
it's Greg
he has
Smith numbers.
Yeah, seriously, you know, back in my Al Bundy days, Polk High. He's able to play inside. I think he's got light enough feet to be able to play some defensive end as well, if you want to go with a little bit bigger package out there on the defensive line. Like, I think he's a really, really versatile player out there. And I think that this is a kid, too, that once you get through his senior season, maybe gets a little bit of a bump. Because I know that a lot of times, you know, you get questions after talking about a kid like this, and they say, well, why is he rated where he's rated? He's a 3-star right now. Sometimes it just takes time, and you know that it takes a little bit more time for the evaluators to get out to Nebraska, so I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a little bump in time as well.
How many defensive ends did you take on as an option quarterback in Chicago?
I always tried to avoid them.
You didn't put your shoulder down? You'd be running stairs.
Nope, not at all. I was a juke guy. I was not running over a soul.
Okay, Greg Smith, recruiting analyst, option quarterback, Hale Varsity Radio, at Greg Smith HV. I had to get in there on you on the option stuff because it's phenomenal.
Right.
Okay, so Max Duggan, his timeline has extended. Not that he is on a shot clock. He can take as much time as he wants, but he's hinted that this spring is kind of D-Day for him. What's your feel where Nebraska's at? What's your feel with the timeline? And give me a projection, if you want, on where Max ends up.
Yeah, you know, the timeline right now is kind of about the same as what he's told me really since last season, is that he does want to make his decision in the spring heading into his senior season, and for a couple of reasons. One, he wants to get the process over with. Two, he has said to me that he wants to actively help to peer recruit with the class, and he knows that the quarterback is a leader of a class, and he relishes that role, which is a great thing to hear from a future quarterback potentially of your program, so that's great. Nebraska's in a good position here. The only snag right now is that I know that with the previous staff, Max Duggan was the number one quarterback on their board, bar none, right? Mm-hmm. With this staff, I've not been able to figure out quite yet whether or not they have him at number one, or if there are other guys that they maybe like as much as him or a little bit better, and that will affect, obviously, how hard they're recruiting him. I know that Iowa is all over him, but I just can't see him going to Iowa, because that offense just would be a waste for Max Duggan to go to Iowa, given that offense. Minnesota is a team that is really doing well with him. P.J. Fleck has been recruiting him for, you know, as long as he's been up there. He's always had kind of an exciting offense going back to his Western Michigan days. That's the team to really watch out for right now, along with he's got a visit, of course, to Ohio State. I think TCU is in the mix as well, in North Carolina. So there's some other teams in the mix. But I think in conference-wise, I think Minnesota is the team to watch out for if it's not going to be Nebraska.
And I forgive me. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen Duggan play, but would Ohio State keep him at quarterback? Would TCU keep him at quarterback? I have no doubt that Nebraska and Minnesota would like him at quarterback. Does Penn State want him at quarterback? I mean, is that – what do you know? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, quarterback is where I know that he's being primarily recruited at. And basically every school that's looking at him has, if you think about those schools that we just listed, run similar versions of the same offense, right? Nebraska might be a little bit further on the spectrum of the wide open spread, but they're all running variations of that, which is why I say that Iowa doesn't really fit in this equation. But I think that he's a perfect fit for a spread offense. He said that and acknowledges that as well. So I think that he'll be going to a team with the spread and to play quarterback.
Last thought here, Greg Smith, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Recruiting hit today on a Monday. As Nebraska gets another talented in-state prospect, Ethan Piper. Nick Heinrich just getting an offer from Oregon. And a little familiarity there from Coach Frost's former squad.
Yeah, I mean, every time I laugh because every time I look up, I feel like he's getting another offer, and deservedly so. I mean, he's a great prospect. I think he's going to be an excellent college football player. The work ethic is there, sideline to sideline speed. He's a very, very good football player. It's going to be a really tough fight to keep him in the state, but I do know Nebraska is putting forth every bit of effort that they can. Barrett Rood is the lead recruiter in that situation, and I know that Nick really likes Coach Rood. And they're making every effort to be able to recruit that kid.
Greg, I have 40 seconds. If Greg Smith got one vote for the Oscar, what movie do you pick?
Oh, man. So quickly, I see them all, basically.
Why I'm asking.
Yeah, so I saw all of those Best Picture movies. My favorite one was Three Billboards, followed by Get Out.
Okay.
So you asked for one, that was two, so I cheated.
That's fine.
So I would probably have gone Three Billboards. So Get Out was great, and I did like The Shape of Water, even though it was super weird. Like, I get why people are a little put off by it, but I did like it.
Well, and I mean, thank you for the recommendation, because I've seen zero of.
If I'm recommending, though, see Get Out.
Okay. Yeah.
Or Dunkirk. If you have Dunkirk is one that's pretty safe for most everybody as well.
Get Out, I've wanted to see, and Three Billboards. It's a cone flick, so it's like No Country for Old Men, I would assume. So. Just soul crushing.
A little bit.
All right. Hey, we'll get caught up and we'll make time for some grill talk. Okay. Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, no problem. Anytime, man.
See ya. There he is, Greg Smith, Hail Varsity Recruiting, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time to tell you about your friends at Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds grown in the lab. They're eco-friendly, they're beautiful, they're sustainable. 10 to 40% off. Hold on. 10 to 40% less. That's 10 to 40% off. Traditional earth mine diamonds. So there's a price difference there. There's no substitute in beauty. There's no substitute in quality. They're awesome. And they're exclusively with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Maybe it's time for an anniversary, a birthday gift. Maybe I love you gift. Or just be a good dude gift for mama. Sauter Heyman, pure grown diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer. You don't believe me about how beautiful they are? Go see Rick. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, Rod West in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Danny, you're smiling very smugly. You have something to say.
How was your weekend, Schmitty?
It was good. Listen, I was upset about Nebraska and their performance. Had a great time at Longwells. We're going to be down at Longwells for all the March goodies for the NCAA tournament. I want to see you down there. But I was ticked off about Friday. I don't care who wins or loses, but play well.
Right.
When it's show out time. Saturday was fine. Watched Michigan State. Junior takes Sparty losses like I used to take Nebraska losses as a kid.
So you got to get one of those like foam balls so you could throw them at the TV.
No, he screams and yells at the TV. I'm proud of him for that. And then he'll go into his room and like cover up and just sulk. Finally, I had to tell him to get out of the rack and be amongst the living. It's 60 degrees outside. Go play with your dog or let her run free. I don't care. Then yesterday he had two basketball games and he just kicked butt. He kicked butt against two really good teams. He almost got into a Bill Laimbeer, Charles Barkley altercation where the other dude's Laimbeer size and he's Chuck size. I wish. That'd be great if he grew up to be 6'7". But he's got an edge. I was proud of him. He played great ball. Usually I trash him and make fun of his teeth or how awful he is at sports. But I'm very, very proud of how well he played yesterday. He's awesome. I even bought him a steak last night.
Ooh.
So, no, it was a good weekend. I mean, it was a really good weekend. Wife worked all weekend. So, just dude's time. It was great. It was good times. But we did the Friday forecast on Friday, and Coach Smith was in. And this is kind of fact-check time with Danny. We do this on Mondays, where I was right, where I was wrong, where Danny was right, and where Danny was wrong. I'm sure you've tallied things, so please share with our audience.
Yeah, so Coach Smith and I had a pretty good weekend. That's the Chicago Bears mentality right there.
Right.
See, yeah, that's exactly what it is. No, but I think we had every single one, me and Coach Smith, except for one. I know I got all.
So you went you went 5-1?
Right. Or no, I went 5-0. I think he might have got one wrong, unless we had the same. I can't recall exactly, but I know I got all the spreads correct. Rutgers, we all had Rutgers, 14.5. Texas, West Virginia, you had West Virginia.
I had the freaking score if West Virginia closes things in overtime or in regulation.
And then Texas just came out of nowhere in overtime, so that kind of screwed the pooch for you on that one. Florida just dominated Kentucky.
I was driving Junior back, and they you know, Kentucky down 20 at the swamp. I've seen Florida as a 5 seed.
Yeah, it's and ridiculous.
Are they that good?
They're just inconsistently like they're great, really good. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And like I remember because when I said it, I was like, Kentucky's just screwed me over so much; they're overrated. And I wasn't watching, but I saw the score pop up on the bottom.
They got drilled,
and I was just laughing. And I
that's a game Kentucky
you.
Go. Yeah, I know, that's what I thought of. immediately I thought of you. This is weird and creepy. I was like, you know what, Danny's gonna just put it on me here on Monday because I saw the score, and I heard the score. I was driving to get the car washed, and Kentucky is just getting mauled.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, at this point in the year, if they're worth a damn, they're going to go win that game or at least keep it close.
Right.
They've already won at West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So they put a run together, Wildcats. They go get just annihilated.
Yeah, they're struggling all over the place. And then Syracuse plus 4.5, they won at home against Clemson.
And that was 52-50.
Was it?
Or 56-50. I mean, it was
not an exciting
game. A snooze fest with that. But the game that I'm irate about, absolutely irate about, was Kansas.
Yeah.
There's no reason, and this just kind of pumps up the Big 12. I mean, there's going to be some clowns out there screaming the Big 12 deserves all 10 in. Think about it. The worst team in your league, Oklahoma State's now, 17-14 or something like that?
Yeah, right around there.
Right? And they may be under 500 in conference, but damn it, they swept your champion. They swept Kansas this year.
Right.
And they're the worst team in your league that swept the best. And then you got TCU that's 22-9 or whatever. West Virginia's good. Mm-hmm. Texas is there. Baylor's not awful. Kansas State's there. And, I mean, there's going to be a lobbying for the Big 12 to get 10 in.
Yeah.
8 is good. I mean, Oklahoma could end up way, way, way down the old trough. And they have the player of the year, arguably, and 5 Q1 wins. So, no, I didn't like that Kansas because I thought it was safe. That's the game that Coach Smith and I agreed on.
Oh, that must have been it.
And I thought Bill Self was going to go drill I don't even know who's coaching Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I don't know. I just looked at them, and they've had so many big wins this year. Like, that's why, and they were at home, and I was like, you can't play it safe. Like, Kansas has been doing good going up to that game, but they still have just, like, not that, like, I'm so confident.
There's zero trust in them.
Right, yeah. And that's,
You know what we didn't do? We didn't pick Carolina Duke.
I know. I had that
written
up. What
the hell, Danny? Your job is to pick the best games of the week. We didn't have Carolina Duke.
Here's the thing. I remember I had it written down, then I put it on a different sheet, and I forgot. And when we were doing the game later, I was going to tell you, but
am I going to have to review what your picks are? Do I have to go back to making the picks?
No, and the thing is, too, you can believe me or not, but I was going to pick Duke in it because this was when the spread was
lower. I'm not
going
to believe
you. Rising.
Well, Carolina was up 10 in that game.
I know. They came back in at half. They're like, okay, Marvin Bagley, just do what you should be doing the whole year. And then right. They dominated them. Senior night, too. So.
No, I know. I know. Well, yeah, it was a bad, bad weekend if we weren't using Skittles for me. Did I even win one? I got Rutgers. That was it.
Yeah, you got Rutgers.
So I was 1-5.
Yeah, and we'll say you would have picked Duke, too. Everyone would have picked Duke. We'll go with that.
Yeah, they just went at home.
Yeah.
They do. They split.
Yeah, they always split.
Carolina Duke splits every year, and then they'll play a week later on Sunday for the ACC championship.
Right.
Theoretically. All right, that'll do it for Danny's reprimand of what my Friday forecast picks were. Always making sure I'm toeing the line. I appreciate that. Greg Smith was great on recruiting, a recruiting segment about 15 minutes ago. Coach McBride, a lot of fun. And then Nicole Auerbach joined us, college basketball insider with The Athletic in hour one. We'll have part of these interviews and show segments posted for you on ESPN. Lincoln, a quick timeout. We'll wind down on Monday next.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. You know, one of the best parts of this basketball season is seeing the footage of an incredible team for Nebraska basketball and your friends at Rockbrook Camera and the Sony choices you have at Rockbrook Camera. Incredible. And when it comes to Husker photos at Hail Varsity, Aaron Babcock and the crew are just insane. They're so good. And you see that every issue of every magazine. And you see that with all the big games when it comes to Nebraska athletics. And I think of some of the shots, some of the Roby stuff, some of the jumpers, some of the gracefulness of Palmer. Just great shots throughout the year on HailVarsity.com and in Hail Varsity Magazine. And what makes Rockbrook Camera so different is their selection of Sony items, and Sony's mirrorless imaging technology achieves new dimensions and photographic speed. You got to have that if Roby's going up for that monster dunk, right? Can't be late on the pick. The performance of these cameras is incredible. They're a fraction of the size and weight of traditional digital SLR cameras. What I'm telling you is there's three locations in the area for you to go visit Rockbrook Camera. And maybe you're pretty hardcore into photography. Maybe you're just starting out. Maybe it's something you want to pick up. Rockbrook Camera is where we suggest you go. And it's good enough for Hail Varsity. It'll be good enough for you when it comes to the photography needs. It meets Hail Varsity's. It'll meet yours as well. Log on today, rockbrookcamera.com. So, Danny, you have some basketball.
Yeah, that's right. We got a late game tonight, 9:30. So we're looking to go 3-0. I'm looking to put up, let's say, 15. I'll aim for 15 tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? Are you a volume scorer?
I go on and off. I mean, sometimes I'm looking to rack up the assists because I'm a point guard. It really just depends how the other team looks. So if it's kind of an easier game, I'll chuck up some more threes. But if there's some good competition, I'm going to play it smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Depends.
So, are you a good crossover guy? Is your speed and athleticism your thing, or again, is it all about Danny getting his shots and forget the team?
No. It used to be more so me scoring, but now that I'm older, I kind of just let the younger kids do it a little bit more, and I like to pass it around. I kind of just like the feeling of giving the assist more so now than I like scoring. Like if a great dime pass feels a lot better than just an open three to me. Like if you just get
Danny,
that
you're growing up.
I know, it's weird. And I will say this, though. I am a former three-point champion, AHYBA League. That was our house league in high school. I got the plaque and everything. I'll have to show it to you.
We need to tweet it out.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the glory days for me. So we'll hang it up on the wall here. You know?
Sure, that'd be good. That would be welcome.
Yeah.
Right next to the Grant Wistrom golf tournament outing.
There you go.
From 11 years ago, we still have it here. That'd be good. We'll put that next to Grant Wistrom and all he's done for the community, Danny's plaque. I mean, they belong on the same wall, of course.
Tell me what the difference is. I don't think there is many, but...
Fundraising and scoring. Selfless, selfish. I love you, Danny. You're good stuff. Take White out to my ledger. Do it now. Tomorrow, we're back at it. Mitch Sherman, Rick Pizzo, thanks to Nicole Arback, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. Greg Smith, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Podcast available, HailVarsity.com and iTunes. See ya.